That's a nice, easy way into the show for you guys to kick back. So what is coming up on the show? It's 8 minutes past four now. This is Wandsworth Radio and I'm Fionn Cottrell. We have got Perfect Pets coming up at just after 4:30. Two gorgeous little kittens that I've got to tell you about, Ziggy and Marley. Oh my gosh, they're adorable. We have got a feature with the very brilliant and mysterious Puppet Planet. And the owner of the Puppet Planet will also be reading a story for us at Fables at 5. So, and I'll be filling in the time and letting you know what's going on around the borough as well. So do not go anywhere. We have got lots coming up for you. As I say, 8 minutes past four on Wandsworth Radio. How are you doing out there, Wandsworth Borough? The kids are all right. Yes, you are indeed. So I hope you've had a really good week. It's the first full week back, isn't it? So I'm sure a lot of you are really tired. You've just had that lovely sort of 6-7 weeks off and now it's back to sort of every single day. But I mean, I used to love school. I used to miss my friends so much in the summer holidays. So I'm really hoping that you've reunited with your friends. And if it's year seven, you're just starting secondary school, or you're just starting primary school, like my little friend Alice over in Balham. Hello, Alice. I hope you've had a fantastic week at school. She's absolutely been over the moon. Auntie Fefe, can I show you my school uniform? I'm like, please, Alice, let me see it. That is number one indeed, by Tinchy Strider. Good afternoon, Wandsworth Borough. This is Wandsworth Radio. I hope you're having a great day. Yes, it's Friday, so I hope you are kicking back. So stay with us right here. If you want to drop me a text, you can do so. Get in touch. You can find me on Twitter, Fayon TV. And of course, there's Wandsworth Radio on Twitter as well. If it's your first time listening, welcome to Wandsworth Radio. This is your station. It is time for Perfect Pet. If you have a pet and you live in the Wandsworth Borough, I want to know all about your perfect pet. They don't have to be perfect, it's just the name of the feature. But each week I am sent photographs and I'm told tales about gorgeous little pets that live in the borough. And this week it is the turn of two little kittens. They are only just over 3 months old and they are called Ziggy and Marley. Oh gosh, they are adorable. If you want to see what they look like, have a look on my Kids Are All Right page on Facebook, the Kids Are All Right show, or you can have a look at my Twitter page at Fayon TV, and you will see the cutest little like little tigers. They are absolutely cute. They're Nikki's pets, and Nikki is 7 years of age and she is from Tooting. Thank you so much, Nikki, for sending in your picture. She says Ziggy and Marley, they love to cuddle up together and they leap around like they're on springs. Well, Nikki, that's what kittens get up to. My cat Punky, lovely cat, used to actually run up the curtains, used to drive my mum bananas. But I loved her all. You can send it to Fayon at wandsworthradio.com. It is always fantastic to hear from you. Keep tuned. Coming up, I got One Thing by A-Marie. Oh, I love that song. And I'm going to be having a little bit of an interview with Puppet Planets, who I went to visit today. I'm taking a walk down Wandsworth Road and I'm stopping right outside number 787. It's Puppet Planet, and what a beautiful, mysterious shop it is. I'm going to meet the proprietor, Leslie Butler. I'm going to just knock the door and see if she's in. Hello, Leslie.
Hello, how nice to see you, Fayon.
It's lovely to see you. Your shop is amazing. How long has the Puppet Planet been here?
Well, the puppets first made their home here in 2003. That's a long time ago. In fact, it's a dozen years. So this year, on the 12th of December, the 12th of the 12th, we're going to have an anniversary party to celebrate. Everybody's welcome to come.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, you heard that, kids. You've got an invitation down to Puppet Planet because there will be a party. So tell me about some of the puppets who reside on Puppet Planet.
Well, I always say that there's kitsch and culture here. So the kitschy bit is the wonderful tacky toys that are fluffy and colourful, and some of them you will even recognise For example, there's Nooky Bear and there's Roland Rat.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Emu Bird and there's Andy Pandy. Oh. And there's Pinocchio, of course, who's the puppet of puppets, whose nose grows whenever he tells fibs.
That's right, that's right. So with Puppet Planet, I mean, I'm looking in the shop and it is just so creative and wonderful. And I see a very sad clown on the floor just there. Why is he so sad?
Well, that particular one is modelled after a real clown called Emmett Kelly. But I do think that clowns sometimes are sad but can make other people laugh. In fact, one of my stories that I do with marionettes is all about a clown called Bimbo who can make everybody laugh except himself.
Aww.
But his friends cheer him up and he's happy again at the end. And I'm going to tell you the end of the story when I come into your studio soon.
Wow, I would love you to come into the studio. And who can you bring?
Well, I think we could invite some of these characters. Who do you like the look of?
Oh, wow, I get to choose. I am drawn, of course, to Punch and Judy. Can you bring them?
I think they'd love to. Mr. Punch never likes to be left out. So I'll bring him with his wife, Judy, and I'm sure there'll be some slapstick comedy. How about this little bird over here? Do you know the name of this little bird?
No, I don't. What is it called?
Well, I tell his story. He's called Cancucho, and he lives in a forest and doesn't build his nest in time for the winter. But he always learns his lesson. And the thing is that he probably would like to come too. So shall we bring Cancucho Bird and Punch and Judy? And how about Bimbo the Clown too? I think that might cheer him
up. Oh, yes, please. That'd be amazing. So you've heard that, kids. We're going to have Punch and Judy. We're going to have Bimbo the Clown and the Cuckoo Bird.
Yes.
Yes. And they're going to come into the studio in a few weeks' time. So I will let you all know and be ready. Oh, Leslie, it's just wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me in. And you're going to read a story for us today, aren't you?
Yes, I love stories because they, even though they're made up of words, there are lots of pictures that they produce in your imagination. And so you may not have a picture book in front of you, but we're going to tell the story of Canter and the Deer by Dasaku Ikeda. And I'm hoping that what you do on the radio, Fionn, is very nice too, is you paint pictures of the things that you come across and the people you meet, and you introduce us to everybody out there. So I'm very pleased to meet your audience today, and thank you for inviting me back. Deer by Daisaku Ikeda. This is the story of a little boy and a magic deer. There once was a boy named Canter. He was about 10 years old. Canter's parents had to go away on business. They thought about taking Canter with them, but they decided in the end that it would be best if he stayed behind with his uncle, Old Jen. Old Jen lived in the mountains way up north. Canter was an only child, and he was kind of a scaredy cat. His father and mother thought that living close to nature might toughen him up a little. Even way up in the mountains, springtime comes if you wait long enough. The white, snow-capped mountains start turning yellow-green when the elm and birch trees begin to bud. Crocuses and rhubarb pop their heads out from under the snow. Spring in the snow country sure is lively. One fine day, Old Jen, his granddaughter Yuki, and Canter went to pick wild asparagus and rhubarb in the mountains. The snow was still deep. Crackle, crunch, crackle, crunch. They trudged through the snow. They'd just reached the top of a small hill when, what could it be? The valley below looked as if it had been dyed red all over. When he saw this, Old Jen began running so fast it seemed like he was tumbling down the hill. Canter and Yuki were at his heels. Oh no, this is awful, Old Jen shouted. Here, there and everywhere, deer were scattered about. The hunters had shot them down. They left behind the ones they weren't able to carry back home. That's why the valley looked red. Oh, oh, Canter cried at the top of his lungs. Bucks and does and even cute little fawns. Who would do such a thing? Canter asked as he cried and cried. Just then, Canter heard a faint noise. He looked around and saw a small fawn. It was weeping in the shadow of a tree. Look, this one's still alive, Canter exclaimed. Canter wiped his tears with his sleeve. He hugged the trembling little deer. Oh, please, can we take him home with us? Canter asked old Jen. And that's how Canter's life with the fawn began. Up north they call young deer Poyuku, so Canter took the first sound of each word and named the deer Poyu. As the weather got warmer, Poyu slowly grew stronger. Soon he could jump up on his hind legs and chase after Canter. Canter remembered when his parents first went away. He'd missed his mother so much that he cried all the time. Now Poyu was growing up happy and healthy without a mother and father. Canter was really impressed. It was hard for a city boy like Canter to get used to the life in the country. When Canter arrived, it was still winter time. It got so cold sometimes that he couldn't feel his nose. His ears hurt and his whole face felt like it was frozen under a layer of ice. And to make matters worse, when he washed up in the morning, the water was positively freezing. At first, Canter cried every time he washed his face. As a matter of fact, there were many things about life up north that were hard for Canter. If he wanted to buy toys or candy, there weren't any stores nearby like there were in the city. But after a week passed and another, Canter began to get used to it. He did lots of fun things you could never do in a big city. He pretended he was an explorer in the mountains. He slid down snow slides. He made snow showers by shaking the trees. Brrr, the snow sure is cold. Surrounded by the great wilderness, Canter grew stronger bit by bit. Poyu was his first animal friend since he'd come to the mountains. They became such good friends that they were like brothers. Canter wasn't lonely anymore. Wherever they went, whatever they did, Canter and Yuki and Poyu were always together. Old Jen gave Canter a deer whistle. Pew-yoo! Pew-yoo! It certainly wasn't a loud sound, but it somehow echoed throughout the mountains and valleys. Whenever Poyu heard the whistle, he came running to Canter. Poyu would always prick up his big ears and glance around with his big round eyes. He had flowery white polka dots on his chestnut-coloured back. Everyone loved Poyu. There was also something unusual about Poyu. He grew so much faster than the rest of the deer. It was like magic. By summer vacation, he had already grown into a beautiful buck. And what about his tail? A deer's tail is pure white and oh so pretty. Some call it a white alarm, because when a deer gets scared, it fluffs up its tail to warn others of danger. But Poyu's tail sparkled as if it had been sprinkled with gold dust. I've never seen anything like it, old Jen said as he scratched his head in wonder. When hunting season began, all of the deer went into hiding. You were lucky if you saw one or two deep in the mountains, and even that was only at dusk or dawn. When they came out to look for food, one day, one of the hunters told a strange story. He'd come across a herd of deer. He was just getting ready to shoot when he heard a sound coming from the top of the mountain. Kyoon! He looked up to see a young buck whirling around and jumping up in the air. There was a golden flash of bright, bright light. The hunter was blinded for a moment. When he could see again, all of the deer had escaped. I saw it too, another hunter said. According to his story, he'd spotted a group of deer after a long and tiring search. But just as his dogs closed in on them, something darted past with a flash of light and kicked them aside. He thought it must have been a phantom deer. And that's how the rumours started. A deer with a golden tail! A phantom deer! A magic deer! Word spread throughout the village. Could it be Poyu? Canter asked old Jen. He was very worried. It can't be. Poyu's been with us the whole time, he replied. But they said it was a deer with a golden tail. One night, Canter got up quietly and snuck out to the barn to check on Poyu. There was no sign of him. His straw bed was cold. But when Canter awoke the next morning, he found Poyu sitting in his stall. It was as if he'd been there all night. The next morning, Canter woke up extra early. By chance, he looked out the window. He saw a deer galloping down the mountain. After rubbing his sleepy eyes, he was able to see that it was Poyu. That morning, Poyu didn't look like his usual playful self. He had a very serious look in his eyes. What's wrong, Poyu? Canter asked. Just then, something unbelievable happened.
Canter,
a voice called out.
Canter,
the voice said again.
Canter, it's me, Poyu.
What? Canter yelped with surprise. His heart was pounding.
I didn't mean to scare you, Poyu said. You can talk? I'm speaking directly to your heart. No one else can hear.
Wow! Kanta thought he must be dreaming, so he pinched his own cheek really hard. Ouch! It wasn't a dream.
I was born to protect the other deer, said Poyu. Long ago, before there were people living here, the deer lived happy lives in these prairies and woods. But then the settlers came. They began cutting down the trees and shooting at the deer. The deer had no choice but to run away into the mountains. Kanta became very sad as he listened to Poyu's story. The deer fought hard to escape the hunters' bullets and to survive the cold northern winters. They may not have been strong and big like the bears and wolves, but they had hope. They never gave up. Kanta admired the deer's courage. Whenever he himself got even a little bit scared, he used to run to his mother. He realized that out in the wild, all living things, even fawns and bunny rabbits, have to struggle just to stay alive. How brave they must be, he thought. They never give up their fight. I hope that one day we will be able to live in peace with human beings. Until then, I will try to save as many deer as I can.
And I will help you, Kanta said eagerly.
Thank you very much. If only there were more people like you, we would all be able to live in harmony,
Poyu said, nodding his head.
To make up for not speaking up sooner, I'm going to introduce you and Yuki to my friends in the mountains.
One fine day, Kanta and Yuki climbed up onto Poyu's back.
Here we go. Hold on tight,
Poyu said as he took off. Deer are very quick, and they can jump very high. It's quite a sight to see them run. Poyu ran faster and faster. Ash and birch trees seemed to fly past. They crossed the river in the valley in just one leap. The steepest slopes were no problem for Poyu. The forests disappeared quickly below them. Before they knew it, they were near the peak of Bear Mountain. The clouds were so close they could almost reach out and touch them.
Kanta, Yuki, look,
Poyu said. There was a clearing on the southern side of the mountain. Do you see that white patch over there that looks like it's covered with snow? Those are all lilies of the valley. Deer don't usually flock together in large groups, but this field was their resting place. There were so many deer grazing in the field that you couldn't count them if you tried.
Hey everyone, this is Kanta and Yuki. They're the ones who rescued me,
Poyu said. All the deer pricked up their ears and turned their heads.
Welcome, they said.
Then Poyu gave a signal and all the pretty fawns came together. They each put their front legs on the back of the fawn in front of them and hopped around in a circle. Hop, hop, hop.
Look, they're dancing. It looks like fun, Kanta said with delight. Wrestling is next,
Poyu said, pointing toward the bucks. The bucks got into pairs. They locked horns and playfully pushed and shoved. Some of them stood on their hind legs and jabbed with their front legs. To tell you the truth, it looked more like boxing than wrestling. When the fawns began chasing each other around, the valley really started to look like a stadium.
It's just like a real wrestling match, said Yuki.
Everyone had lots of fun that day. It was like being in a dream.
It's just like sports day at school, Yuki laughed.
A few days after Kanta and Yuki got back from the deer gathering, the trees in the mountains started to turn red and yellow. It was already autumn. Autumn was usually a busy time. The squirrels and rabbits and foxes came out to collect nuts and berries. But this year there was only silence. This was because many hunters with guns had come in from the city. They had all heard the rumours about the glowing deer. They came pouring into the mountains.
I'm going to get that phantom deer once and for all, they said.
I have to go and protect the others,
Poyu said to Kanta. I'm going with you. They're my friends too, Kanta replied. Kanta packed his bag with food and medicine. He climbed up on Poyu's back. Poyu raced, almost flew through the mountains. He wove gracefully through the trees that seemed to come charging toward them. They soon came across a herd of deer being chased by hunting dogs. A young fawn at the back of the pack
was close to being caught by a dog. But before Kanta could even yell, "Watch out!"
Poyu had already kicked the dog aside. The dogs didn't give up that easily, though. They kept chasing after the deer.
Luckily, Poyu knew what he was doing. He led the deer across a stream so that the dogs wouldn't be able to track their scent. And as he ran, he would sometimes suddenly jump to one side. This is called the rabbit's sidestep. It's a trick used by rabbits to erase their tracks when they get close to home. From then on, Kanta patrolled the mountains with Poyu every day. He carried food for the deer. He treated the ones who were wounded. When they found a dead deer that had been shot down by the hunters, Kanta would cover it with a blanket of fallen leaves. There wasn't much else he could do for those that were already dead. Animals that live in the city are kept in cages. Kanta never knew when they were born or how they died, but out here, Kanta saw them struggling to stay alive right in front of his eyes. He realized how hard it is to survive in the wilderness. He felt he had to do whatever he could to protect the deer. Autumn became winter, and the mountains turned white again. One day, the snow that had started in the afternoon turned into a blizzard by night. The wind howled through the mountains. It was snowing so hard you couldn't even see 3 feet in front of you. The rabbits and foxes were holed up in their burrows, but the deer, who lived in the shade of the trees, stumbled about helplessly. After raging for 3 days, the blizzard finally died down. Then an icy wind started blowing that was so cold it froze your hands and feet solid. "I wonder how the deer are doing," Kanta said. He was very worried. The mountains were hidden under 10 feet of snow. Old Jen was worried too. "I imagine the deer paths are completely covered up," he said. When deer walk through the mountains, they usually take the same routes over and over again until a trail is formed. Those trails are called deer paths, but they get buried when it snows a lot. "I heard that deer are getting stuck in the snow in the mountains. Some are heading toward the sea coast where the snow isn't so deep, but the hunters are waiting for them there. With the snow and cold, the deer might not survive." After hearing the rumours going around the village, Poyu said to Kanta, "I must go and lead my friends to safety. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I'll be back some day." Then Poyu ran off into the mountains. Several days after Poyu left, a hunter came down the mountain. He shouted, "I've shot the phantom deer. I just kept shooting and shooting at the shining light. Then I heard a high-pitched whistle and the light disappeared. I'm sure I got him." Kanta could scarcely keep from crying. "Grandpa, do you think Poyu's all right?" he asked. "Poyu is the king of the deer. He's not going to be caught that easily." Old Jen tried to cheer Kanta up, but Kanta was too worried to listen. "We've got to help Poyu," Kanta said to Yuki. The next morning, Kanta and Yuki secretly left for the mountains. They wore big snowshoes over their boots so that they wouldn't sink into the snow. They stuffed vegetables and dried grass into their backpacks. Looking for a deer in a huge snowy mountain range is like trying to find a goldfish that fell into the ocean. But Kanta had the deer whistle. He blew it as hard as he could. "Pew-yoo! Pew-yoo!" There was no sign of Poyu. As Kanta's legs got tired, he walked slower and slower. Suddenly he stopped and shouted, "Oh! Of course! What? What?" Yuki looked at him with surprise. "Remember when Poyu took us to Bear Mountain? The place with all those lilies? That's where he must be." "Yeah, you're probably right," Yuki agreed. They started walking with lighter footsteps. As they drew close to Bear Mountain, Kanta's heart started beating louder and faster. "That must be the place over there," Kanta said. He pointed out into the distance. Then all of a sudden, the ground under their feet fell away. "Help! Oh, no!" They slid down, down, down and landed with a big thud. In his dream, Kanta was running through the fog with Poyu. Poyu was being playful, jumping on his hind legs, pushing Kanta from behind, skipping up the mountainside. Just then, bang! A shot rang out and Poyu was thrown into the air and came crashing onto the ground. "Poyu! Poyu!" Kanta shouted at the top of his lungs. "What time is it?" Coming out of his dream, Kanta shook Yuki awake. "Yuki, get up! We've fallen into a big hole. We've got to get out of here." They tried to climb out, but whenever they got close to the top, the snow would crumble beneath them and they would end up in the bottom again. The old Kanta would have already been crying for his mother, but Kanta was no longer a scaredy cat. He tried again and again to climb out the hole, only to fall each time. Soon Kanta was shivering from the cold. His stomach was grumbling with hunger. He He was also very tired and nearly fell asleep. He fought to keep his eyes open. Then he thought he heard Puyu's voice in the distance. "Kanta, hold on! Don't give up!" the voice said. "It's Puyu. I have to help Puyu," thought Kanta. He felt a surge of energy. If he'd been struggling only for himself, Kanta might have given up right then and there. But because he knew that Puyu needed his help, he kept trying and trying. Friendship has the power to give you strength. It also makes you want to be kind, and it can give you the will to carry on. Kanta thought hard for a moment. Suddenly he came up with a great idea. He started to make snowballs, first big ones and then smaller and smaller ones. 4, 5, 6. Then he and Yuki piled up the snowballs to make steps and climbed out of the hole. "Hey, we got out," Kanta cried. "We did it," Yuki said. "Let's hurry and find Puyu." The clearing with the lilies of the valley was right in front of them. Kanta blew hard on the deer whistle. "Puyu! Puyu!" The wind carried the familiar sound right to Puyu's ears. "Puyu, where are you?" Kanta yelled. In his mind's eye, Puyu could see Kanta calling out to him. He staggered out into the middle of the field. He was wounded. He looked toward the sound of the whistle. He saw the outlines of two people coming toward him. "Puyu!" Kanta screamed. Standing in the clearing, Puyu looked thin, but his large eyes were calm and gentle. They sparkled with a strength that could meet any hardship. Puyu had a deep wound on his leg. "That must hurt terribly," Kanta said. "It's not as bad as it looks," Puyu replied. Kanta took the supplies out of his backpack. He rubbed some medicine on Puyu's wound. "No matter what happens," said Kanta, "you've got to keep struggling. I'll always be praying for you. Go and help the other deer. When you come back to us someday, I'll be here waiting for you. I'll be even stronger than I am now. It's thanks to you, Puyu." "Thank you for rescuing me. Your courage and kindness have made me feel better already," Puyu replied. Soon after that day, rumours that the phantom deer was still alive started spreading. Hunters came from all over to see if they could catch him, but even so, very few deer were shot down. Puyu was there to protect them. The phantom deer was never hit again. His glowing tail became so dazzlingly bright that the hunters couldn't even keep their eyes open when he appeared. The hunters were amazed by the way he seemed to fly when he ran. One day, all of the hunters got together. They decided to spread out across the mountains and plains. They wanted to round up all the deer into one spot. Kanta was very worried. He tried to warn Puyu. He blew his whistle every day, but Puyu never came. Finally, it was the night before the big hunt. Kanta had trouble sleeping. Every time he heard a sound, he thought it was Puyu. Then, at dawn, he heard something outside the house. It was the sound of someone stomping on the snow. Crackle, crunch, crackle, crunch. Kanta crawled out of his bed and went to the door. It was Puyu. "It's Puyu!" Kanta shouted as he shook old Jen awake. Then he dashed outside. "Puyu!" Kanta yelled as he hugged Puyu. "Puyu, the hunters are going to surround the mountain. You've got to..." Puyu stared silently at Kanta. Then he called out, "Fai! Fai!" At that moment, sunlight began streaming onto the mountainside, turning it bright orange. There were dozens, no, hundreds of deer peering out from between the trees. The mountain was covered with deer. "Fai! Fai!" The deer called out in harmony. The sound became louder and louder as it echoed throughout the mountains. "Kanta, Puyu's probably here to say goodbye. I think he sensed the danger. He's decided to take his friends deep into the mountains, way up north," said old Jen. One last time, Puyu spoke to Kanta's heart. "That's right, I've come to say goodbye," he said. His eyes were brimming with tears. Kanta was too choked up to talk. He stared at Puyu for a moment. Then he ran into the house to get the whistle. "Puyu, this is my way of saying goodbye. Listen carefully," Kanta said. "Puyu! Puyu! Puyu!" Kanta kept blowing and blowing, his eyes clouded with tears. Puyu stood straight and tall as he listened to the whistle. "Goodbye, Puyu!" Kanta shouted. "Yoo-yoo!" Puyu called out to Kanta, the way he used to when he was still a fawn. Then he jumped up and spun around. As if this were some kind of signal, all of the deer started racing up the mountain at once, Poyu's golden light reflected off of the other deer. The whole mountain looked like it was glowing. It was an unforgettable sight. Kanta, Poyu called out, goodbye and thank you. I'll never forget your kindness and your courage and your friendship. Thank you so very much. You gave me the strength to keep living. As you grow, never forget to listen to your heart. I'll always be a part of you because we're friends forever. No matter how tough it gets, let's keep fighting together. Goodbye, Kanta. The deer up north have often faced danger and hard times, but they will always survive as long as the phantom deer is alive.
What a wonderful story. Thank you so much for reading that to us, Leslie. It's a beautiful tale and such a heartwarming conclusion.
That's actually, I've just realised that it's a tale about a tail. Yeah. A lovely shiny tail, isn't it?
It is as well. You're absolutely right. So I'm just in the back of Puppet Planet at the moment. And again, like I say, surrounded by so many different types. I had no idea there were so many different types of puppets. Can you just sort of bring it to life for us? What kind of puppets are we looking at the moment?
Yes, I can describe some of them. And this, where we're standing, is kind of what I describe as backstage, because there are many theatres here for different types of shows, different types of puppets. So we have hand puppets and finger puppets, and there's a theatre there for that. And when people visit the shop, they can have a go with some puppets to see if they can put on their own show. They're welcome.
Cool.
And then there are also shadow puppets, which are ones which you shine a light through and they appear very colourful. And it's interesting because puppets all around the world have these versions. They nearly always have a shadow puppet version and then a string puppet version, which we call a marionette. Mm-hmm. There's also rod puppets, which have a stick.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then they have little sticks for their hands. They can be very expressive. But the nice thing about puppets is that they are objects that are brought to life and animated. So for example, you could even make, I've seen in one theatre where they made a book become a bird by just opening, closing it.
So that's clever.
But the book became like the wings of a bird. Mm. And so you can make a puppet out of anything because it is an animated object. But these ones that you can see here are often very naturalistic. So they look like people, like a particular character like Alice in Wonderland, or this is another version of the clown. These are boobaloos. They're fluffy birds.
I love those.
They're always trying to fly. And there are beautiful puppets with many masks, and there are puppets from Thailand, and there are Rajasthani Katputli. Katputli means wooden doll in Indian. So there's lots of colourful wooden dolls here.
Look at these ones up on the shelves.
They're beautiful. They're handmade because anyone can make a puppet.
They're really lifelike, aren't they?
They're from South Africa, made by someone called Bevia Lam. And they're very beautiful. They're made of papier-mâché. So again, anybody can make a puppet at home out of papier-mâché, or if they've got one sock or one glove missing, they can just put buttons on and make their own puppet. But make sure they ask their mum before they start cutting.
Like, where's my sock?
Or dad or friend before they start cutting them up, because the other sock might just be in the washing machine still.
That's right. How wonderful. Well, kids, as I say, we're going to have some special guests in the studio from Puppet Planet. But for now, it's time for me to go from this very magical and beautiful place. I don't really want to go.
You're welcome back anytime. You can come and play.
Yeah. I'd love to come and play. And kids, why don't you come down and play at number 787 Wandsworth Road, Clapham? Just ring the bell and you'll be invited into a mystic world.
And I always do say it's best to phone first if you can, because there might be a puppet party going up, because I do have those. I host parties here just to make sure the shop's open, but you're always welcome to pass by.
Brilliant.
And you don't have to buy something, even though it's a shop. It's a place for your imagination to play.
Wonderful. Thanks then, guys. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.